I have on the telephone from, first of all, happy Easter to all of you, to those who celebrate, and happy winter time again. You heard in the weather report there's snow coming. Peter Nolan was one of the most distinguished television reporters in the history of this town. He's been out of the game for a while, but that doesn't mean he doesn't pay attention. It doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's talking about. He and I are going to be at the Cliff Dwellers on Wednesday to discuss Harold Washington's legacy. Pete's on the phone now. Pete, how warm is it down in Florida? I want you to make me feel bad.
Well, I'd say it's in the, I don't know exactly, it's in the mid-80s, sunny. Part little cloudy at times.
Oh, a little cloudy. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
well, I can't wait to see you in person. I can't wait to see you in person on Wednesday. I'll give you people the details in a while. Yeah. But first, we're going to talk about one of the finest books ever written about Chicago politics. It's being reissued now in a handsome new edition. It is called Campaign, The Election That Rocked Chicago. I have the feeling, Pete, and I'm going to ask you about this, I have the feeling that the next election for mayor of this city might rock Chicago too, but that's for later in the program. You came here.
I hear that, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I want your impression about that, because you have been, even though you've been out of the, your face has been off TV, but you, that doesn't mean you don't observe, and you were always one of the most astute observers of the political scene. That Harold Washington campaign was unlike anything, I think, tell me I'm wrong, in the history of this town, wasn't it? Not just that he was the first, became the first African-American mayor, but for a number of reasons. Yes?
Oh, yeah, it was. And, you know, it's funny. It came at a time when I was thinking of getting out of the business. I had been in the news for 25 years, I take it. And I said, and I wanted to write. I wrote a play before I left television. And then 51st Ward. Well, when I was covering this campaign, I said, you know, if I get out of the business and slowed my life down a little bit, I'd like to write about this thing because it is so incredible. I mean, it was just, there was one thing after another. And as you say, in the history, I don't know, going back, 100 years, but there had never been really a viable Republican candidate since the 20s.
Right.
And
since
a guy named
Bill Thompson. Yep.
Yeah. And so you had the racial component at a time when, there was quite a bit of racism going on. You had the characters were so. You had Jane Byrne. And of course, Harold was I can hear his voice now and I wasn't there, but I looked at some of the clips we had of him with a bullhorn yelling up to people at Cabrini Green, and he said, "Punch 9,
yeah.
9 is mine." That was his position on the ballot. Young guy, what's his name now? Joe Winston.
Joe Winston, documentary.
Yeah, and he named it after that. I think it's coming out now.
It's finished.
Punch 9. Yeah.
I talked to one of the producers. I had drinks with him last week on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
And it's finished. It's about to start the, and it's taken Joe a long time because, you know this better than anybody. What people don't realize is to make a documentary takes money. It's not just, gathering old film clips and tossing it together. You have to have dough to do it. I can't wait to see that. I want to talk to you, Peter Nolan. The Channel 11 recently aired a documentary as part of its Chicago Stories series about Jane Byrne. And that brought back so many strange memories to me, one of which was I was standing in, you'll love this, the day of the primary against Daily. I'm standing in the washroom of the old Sun-Times Daily News building, and I'm standing next to Jay McMullen, who had married Jane the year before. And I said to him, for your friends and colleagues at the Sun-Times, he was then doing some real estate. He'd been the Daily News City Hall reporter. And I said, Jay, any chance? And he literally, Pete, started laughing. He goes, oh, come on, Rick, no chance at all. But, man, it's been fun. Later that day, it turned out that Jane Byrne did win the Democratic primary, and no one in the world, Peter Nolan, would remember who she ran against in that mayoral, what Republican was sent to the guillotine in that whole thing.
I believe his name was Wallace Chancellor.
You're exactly, you and I are a handful of people who would know that, given no chance whatsoever. talk to me for a while, Pete, because she is a huge part of your book, Campaign, The Election That Rocked Chicago. Jane was, in her way, I admired much of Jane, but once she got in City Hall, it was chaos, wasn't it?
Well, it was. There was a lot of chaos. It was a great news ride.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because she would, we were used to everybody at City Hall under the old Daily organization, everybody dummy up. You'd run into some guy in the hall. Nobody would talk to you. Jane Byrne was the mayor, and she's making policy walking down the hall and giving Hugh Hill a Channel 7 a scoop. And then by the time he's got it on the air, she's changed it.
That's a great section.
Something else.
That's a great section of your book, yeah.
And then she'd be firing people Dick Ciccone, I think, wrote in the foreword to my book that a lot of the media didn't get a chance to interview some of her new appointees because they were fired by after 2 weeks. She fired the superintendent of police, Joe DeLeonardo.
Nardi, sure.
Yeah.
What doesn't really appear much in this documentary Channel 11 aired about her was Jay McMullen, who you had known for some time before he moved into the City Hall, one of the great characters in the history of Chicago journalism, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. He was the guy that he had a line, you can't be around City Hall very long without getting hit by some falling corruption. He was quite the ladies' man before he...
Oh, yes, he was.
I don't know if somebody wrote something in the paper that he was leaving City Hall. He was in the press room and not coming back. Somebody at the Daily News complained, and they said he's running out with gals. And he was over at the, I think it was the executive
house. It was the executive house across.
And he appeared bare-chested out on the balcony and called the city desk.
I know. I remember that distinctly. He also, one of his great lines, Peter Nolan, I think it was in an Esquire magazine piece, he said, I don't worry about my job. I can roll over in bed in the morning and scoop the Tribune, meaning that he was in bed with someone who would give him stuff. I am on the phone with Peter Nolan, my friend, the great collaborator with Mike Houlihan on a number of different ventures, including the 51st Ward. He and I will be at the Cliff Dwellers Club this Wednesday, cocktails at 6, Pete and I talking at 7. It's at 200 South Michigan. It's an amazing room, the 22nd floor penthouse. There is no charge for this. You will have to pay for drinks if you want them, and I would recommend having them. We'll be there again, cocktails at 6, presentation at 7. We got to take a little break.
One cocktail. Can I have one cocktail?
I'll buy you as many cocktails as you want, my friend. As many as you want.
Just one. I don't want to, embarrass the show,
Well, I'm hoping there'll be most of the people there will be old reporters and or people who like old reporters. We got to take a break now, but Pete's going to stay on for quite some more time talking about his wonderful book, Campaign. It's the election that rocked Chicago. We'll talk about some of the other people in that election. I am on the phone with my pal, Peter Nolan. You know him and knew him from television. What people sometimes forget about you, Pete, is you gave, in the good old days when television stations did this, you did commentaries. You delivered nightly commentaries on the 10 o'clock news on Channel 5 from, roughly 78 to 81. I think that's sad that television no longer does that. It's a lot of too much happy talk for my taste. You got to Chicago, Peter Nolan, on April 1st, 1968, 3 days before the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made the West Side explode.
Yes.
You were originally from Buffalo, New York, and you'd come from other stations. Chicago in those days, Pete, was with almost without argument, the best news town in the country. The most stories, the most strife, if you will, the most interesting political characters. It was a gold mine for a reporter, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things, I got hired as a summer replacement writer. And I brought my wife and three little kids with me. I took a chance, Bill Corley was the news director, and he wrote me a letter saying, "We can't guarantee anything, but it looks like we're expanding, and you'll have a permanent job." Well, my God, it was the, Dr. King's assassination. You had Bobby Kennedy in June. You had the Democratic convention. You had rioting. I spent a lot of time in the editing room, screening film. I got to do a pretty good imitation of Richard J. Daley. I saw him so much on film before I ever saw him in person. The following year, I became a street reporter. But yeah, Chicago was unbelievable. I'm sure a lot of other cities had stuff going on. You mentioned the commentary.
Right.
I did that. That was really a lot of fun. It was hard to do. To come up with something clever every day, and I got a lot of. I felt admiration for newspaper columnists.
Yeah.
Like Royko. Coming up. He used to do something every day.
5 days.
And I did something, but it was only like a minute and 10 seconds.
One of the great things, one of the things in your book, and I reread it, it's called Campaign, the Election That Rocked Chicago, was I had forgotten that you write in the book, you say that a lot of the... a lot of people in the business thought of Daley, Richard J. Daley, kind of as a buffoonish kind of character. And you write, "I saw Daley in a different light. He reminded me of my father. My father, Ralph W. Nolan, had died in 1948 when I was only 8 years old. And most of my colleagues thought Daley was a bozo, but I liked him because it reminded me of my old man. Richard J. Daley was a man of many moods and faces." When you finally got to meet Daley face to face, you must have, as I did, you must have admired him, yes?
I did, yeah. I certainly did. We had to go. I was sent over to his news conferences loaded with some tough questions.
Sure.
I remember who was the guy who later became Ray. He was with the Chicago American, the City Hall, and he was kind of a pro Daley. Some of these reporters were pro Daley guys, and if we'd ask a question, usually it was TV people, and he'd turn around and give us a dirty look. But Daley, some people think he was. Evil man, and this, and he was a power power guy, and so forth. And certainly he had flaws, but he also had a softness about him. He was quick to get a tear in his eye. Another thing that impressed me is we'd be up there waiting for him in the ante room outside the mayor's office, and his sons would come up, and they were young guys, and the first thing he'd do is give them a hug. And
yeah.
And so he also, you know, he not that this means he's a saint or anything, but that impressed me. He used to go to daily mass.
I know.
At St. Peter's in the Loop.
Yep.
Now this doesn't get him off. He certainly did some powerful stuff, that some of things that were not good.
No question.
But I mean, he made mistakes. There's no question about that. But I kind of like everybody in the newsroom was always bad rapping. But that was our job was to.
Yeah, because you know, look, we in the news business are meant to be a bunch of cynics, you know, and we, you know, and to look at power with a you know, sort of cross-eyed. What did you think? Did you like, you know, one of the things about your book? It reminds me in so many ways about how unbelievably likable Harold Washington was. I mean, charismatic, I think, is the word. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he had that deep baritone voice. He also had a wonderful command of the language.
Yep.
One of the things that, and I interviewed a lot of African-American leaders, including Supreme Court Justice Charles Freeman and Ray Yule, who was a state rep, and they indicated that, you know, the Chicago's black community pretty much went with the machine.
Sure.
But they were people that had jobs, and the larger community never really had somebody to vote for.
Yep.
Except when this guy, this phenomenal guy with a tremendous executive presence.
Sure.
With a deep voice and powerful, there was a huge movement in the community, and I think that was incredible.
Well, one of the things you've updated the book, and you remember that the day Harold Washington died, you were home and you watched it all on television. Campaign is just a remarkably good book. The election that rocked Chicago. A lot of people have written about that incredible election. Daley, Byrne, and Harold Washington, and then the incredible. When we come back, Pete, if you can hang on through the news, I'll just keep you for a few minutes after that, and I want to talk about Bernie Epton, because I want to save much of our conversation for this Wednesday at come at 6 o'clock for the cocktail hour. You can watch Pete Nolan and Rick Kogan have a drink. Then we will start talking, if we are able, at 7 o'clock, and it's free to the public, at the Cliff Dwellers on the top of 200 South Michigan. We will be back after the news. Don't want to blow the conversation between me, Rick Kogan, and Peter Nolan, because we'll be continuing this Wednesday starting at 6 o'clock with cocktails. You can watch me and Pete have a cocktail, and then you will be able to listen to us as best we can talk from 7 to 8 at the Cliff Dwellers Club. It's an amazing space on top of the building at 200 South Michigan. It is free, except you have to pay for your drinks. I'm going to wait and ask Pete about Lori Lightfoot that day, Wednesday. Now I want to spend 2 minutes talking to him about, and thanks again for coming on, Pete. I know it's difficult when it's 85 degrees outside in Florida to come and sit inside and be on the radio. Bernie Epton is what did you think of him? I think people now think of him as a racist and just a cliche because, you know, that campaign slogan, Epton, before it's too late, has lingered. What did you think of him as a man and a candidate?
He was a good man.
Yeah.
The bad thing about the candidacy was that slogan.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was concocted by some of these consultants.
Out of town consultants.
Yeah. And they and they think they know everything that there is to know about the locale, and they came up with this thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he went along with it.
Yeah.
His daughter was very concerned about it. But he decided to go with it. He was concerned about, for him, he said, Harold had some questions about financial, but you know, because he had some
income tax troubles.
And he had some other things in his history that he got by and so forth. But Bernie Epton was no more a racist. He was a Republican, a liberal Republican from Hyde Park. His kid, that was the only in his. He was a World War II veteran, and that was the only neighborhood in Chicago that was integrated, and his kids went to public schools, integrated schools. He supported all civil rights issues when he was in the legislature.
Yep.
He and Harold had been friends in the legislature. He also contributed to many, many African American causes, and because he was a wealthy man, so he got that was the thing that hurt him the most.
Yeah, no question.
After till he died, was that he was labeled a racist.
That
was the farthest thing from the truth.
But, it is so great, Pete, to talk to you anytime. We're going to do this again Wednesday at the Cliff Dwellers Club, which is at 200 South Michigan. There's no price of admission. There are free appetizers. You do have to pay for drinks, and I will buy Pete one or two or three or however many drinks he wants.
I got a couple of people that will do that. A couple of my sons.
Good. I can't wait to see them and you, Pete. Thanks a million. I'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Take care.